don't have much room to maneuver up here. This is not like the Fort Myers podium. I mean, they've got a big one up. You can really spread out on that one. Well, there's a saying which we're all familiar with. Life is full of trials. Trials are indeed a part of life. And many times those trials can be very serious and very severe. Other times it can be much more milder. Trials can be discouraging. They can be sad. They can also be something that can be a motivation to move on, to do something much greater that we wouldn't have been motivated to do before it had happened to us or we had experienced it. I'd like to take a look at how we can succeed with trials, and certainly there are many different types of trials, and more than just the one trial here in this congregation that everybody has been experiencing here this last week. They come in a number of different issues in life that we can look at. Certainly major disappointments that people may experience. A lot of you are having trials economically. It comes to loss of job and unemployment running out and not able to still find anything out there at all that can open up. That certainly is a trial and again on individuals. Major loss, major illness, death of a close loved one, certainly. And many times circumstances beyond one's control. When a lot of these things happen in life, it in a lot of cases leads to a second trial or a third trial. Get into the throes of discouragement, even depression, and problems with anxiety, fear attacks, and so forth. I've seen as people have had because of things that have happened. And I'll certainly stress, to say the very least. And sometimes the second trial or the third trial can be worse than the original. And it requires a lot in order to be able to handle those things. Well, one of the ways certainly that one can, and there's a lot of things as far as in learning how to cope with and handle some of the trials that we have in life, and certainly what has happened in this last week that's brought a great deal of sadness on everybody. And that is, to be successful in trials, we have to begin with by being thankful to God. Now, when I talk about being thankful to God, I don't mean that we're thankful that somebody died. I'm talking about many other things to be thankful about that center around what God is doing. If there is any area, I have mentioned to you before a lot of times that people want to know why. And you don't have the answer. And I don't know even at the resurrection if God will give us the answer. Why? It may not be something we need to know. And we do have to go forward certainly in faith. But if there is any way in this life that one can begin to possibly understand on why, I believe it would come in our giving of thanks to God, as we'll see as we go along here, as it begins to open up our mind in a way that if we didn't, that it wouldn't. Well, God instructs us in the Bible always to be thankful, and let me just review a few of these things. I've talked about this subject before. But you know, a lot of times when we have situations happen, it's good to go back to the basics, isn't it? Years ago, I don't know if I ever mentioned to you, but I used to play baseball about 8 or 9 years. I was an organized ball and was quite successful. But every year, sometime usually probably between the half to the three-quarter of the way through the season, you begin to always seem to have, or at least I did as I best remember, begin to get in a little slump. And then you get frustrated because you're not hitting as well as you know you can. And so you try too hard maybe to correct whatever you think the problem is. You get frustrated. You lose some confidence. Usually your coaches begin to, if they see that and pick it up on any player, they, well, here, we just need to slow down and go back to the basics. And go back through the basics in hitting, instructional hitting, until you get back, get your confidence back, and then things begin to pick up, and you get back to normal again. Well, that is true in our Christian lives as well. And when you have things like what has happened, that not just with Mr. Wills, but you might say the culmination here, because, of course, Winston Howard and Karen Collins, all three of these people who died here recently, had been longtime members in the congregation. And it's like an accumulation, too. And here, when it came to this, and especially with Mr. Wills here this last week. Let's go back and take a look at some of these things from the basics. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 18, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will, and we're talking about it here, Mr. Rand was, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It is the will of God to give thanks, to give thanks. Giving thanks helps us to begin to see the bigger picture from God's perspective. And we'll look here at some of those specific things that we could be giving thanks for, and maybe if we have not been doing that as we go along. But he does want us to, in all things, to give thanks. Well, I'll just give you a few things. How about the fact that God is in charge? And that Jesus Christ is going to come back, and he's going to rise, and we are going to rise if we've deceased, or if we're alive, we're going to be changed. Now, I tell you, maybe we get used to that in the church over the years. But I tell you, that is an incredible thing when we realize it is real. It is going to happen. And we're going to see people like Abraham, who's been dead for 3,800 years, and it will be his next twinkling moment of his eyes when he is resurrected from the grave. And all the other saints. And time means nothing in the spirit world. It only means something to us in the physical world. And they will be instant, and they will be outside of time forever. And and because they will live forever. We have a lot to be very, very thankful for. I know a lot of times we focus on sadness. And what is sadness? I am sad. I have lost someone who I depended on, who I looked to. Well, it's not wrong to be sad. It's only natural. But we don't want it to go on forever, as they say, but clear out of control. There comes a point in time when God wants us to come back through understanding, through thankfulness of his the things that we understand through his word, that we can go forward and go on. And that things will improve and become better. Notice in Colossians, again here, Paul speaking in this, and you'll find Paul, he hardly speaks without bringing this up, being thankful, how important it really is. And sometimes maybe we forget and it gets crowded out because of all the other things going on in our lives. But here in Colossians 3 and verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in the body, and be thankful. Be thankful. And in verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through him. Always giving thanks, and whatever you do in the name of the Lord Jesus, and giving thanks. Now, there is something to be very thankful for right there, that we do have the Lord Jesus. And you want to think about it. I hope to, in fact, I know I will, in a sermon between now and Passover. I have a book and a chapter in this particular book. It's one of Lee Strobel's books, The Case for Jesus. But there is a chapter I found most interesting that in which he interviews a doctor on the crucifixion and goes through it from the medical perspective of step by step by step as what happened to him. The shock, the loss of blood, everything he was experiencing based upon what is written in Scripture. Now, Mr. Wills did suffer considerably before he died. And when we went to anoint him last week and went into ICU, and as I know, he was mentally lucid and everything, but he was certainly burning up with fever from the infection that came from the original port that they had used, and it had turned into blood poisoning and all of that. And it was obvious that without a miracle that he was not going to live much longer. But he did. Was it afterwards or before I actually began the prayer that he was asking and praying that God's will would be done here in this case. And so he understood the gravity of the situation and all of that. But I mention that because when you understand how great was the suffering of our Savior, it was even so much greater than I think we really imagine. And yes, even though Mr. Wills at the end there did suffer, they had to sedate him, I believe, to help him to be able to be comfortable when it was obvious that there was nothing more that they could do for him and all that. But Jesus Christ suffered. He suffered incredibly, and I think when you go through the what the medical doctor in this particular chapter of this book had to say, I thought it was just incredible to read something like that and see. And I bring that up because we have a lot to be thankful for. Because, see, God the Father knew before he sacrificed and sent his son here what he was going to go through, not just a normal death, and for the sins of all mankind. And so, and he did. He went through an incredible suffering that people don't. The closest thing I've come in seeing anything on it was when I saw the movie a few years ago, Passion of the Christ, and how realistic that was. And then when I read how a doctor explains medically what is exactly happening to him blow by blow, that's an eye-opener. So I'll share that with you at a later time. But I bring it up now just to tell you we have a lot to be thankful for, and we need to thank our Father in heaven that he has sent his son. Because through his son, Howard Wills and everybody else is going to rise. And without that, as Paul was read, I think, the other night there by Mr. Rand in the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 15, we would have no hope. There would be nothing. So we have a lot to be thankful for, and we need to start at the top in giving thanks. And thanks to God the Father, thanks to Jesus Christ, who is our Savior. He is the husband of the church. We are the bride. A lot of times we get on to these things, we begin to look at things differently. Yes, it's sad, and we're going to miss him. But then we see a little bit bigger and broader picture. What picture do you think Howard Wills would want us to see? The bigger and the broader one, of course. That's the kind of person he was. So we want to be doing those things, and it will help us maybe to understand a little bit what God has in mind, what he is doing. Let me move along here. I was going to turn to Isaiah 55, but I won't because of time. The reason I had Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9 in mind is because there it says, and I'll paraphrase it to you, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are higher, higher than your ways. And they are. So when it comes to understanding, why did this happen? God has a higher way of understanding than maybe we have the capacity to pick up at in this life at this time. Maybe we will down the road and look back and be able to see things that we're not seeing today. Sometimes that does happen. And as we pray and as we seek thanksgiving and to be closer to God, some of those things may open up. Our minds like, just dawned on me. But where did that dawn come from? Maybe it was God's Spirit giving us the insight to see. There are many things to be thankful for. I won't go through and list them all. Like the song says, name them one by one. Certainly, I do want to look at some of the things on trial since we are experiencing trials at this time. But let's go over to James chapter 1. James 1. And again, this is more of a reminder. I think every one of you are familiar with these scriptures I'm reading. James 1, verse 2 and 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And you in this room are in various trials, in various stages of trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. It really does. And it goes on later in another scripture, as we'll turn to here in just a moment, in Romans chapter 5. It also produces something else that's very important to us. Let's take a look at that in Romans chapter 5. I have certainly mentioned before how that in 2 Corinthians 12, I won't turn to it, but how Paul accepted God's will. He accepted God's will. Gladly, he said, when God, after three times beseeching God for the healing of the thorn in his flesh, and he took it that God was not going to heal him. And he accepted God's will, that my mercy is sufficient unto you, as he went on to say. That was a thankful attitude. I don't remember the word thankfulness or giving thanks as it listed there, but I can tell by the action, by the response, that here was a thankful man, or that wouldn't have come out of his mouth. Here in Romans chapter 5, let's take a look at Romans 5, verse 3 and 4. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Hope. Now, sometimes people under trials give up and lose hope. But if we always come back to God, and keep this in mind, when there's nothing you can do, and there are situations where there is nothing you can do, go on your knees and give God, start giving him thanks. Start giving him thanks. And that begins to open up some of the mind a little bit to see things differently. I know Herbert Armstrong, when Mrs. Armstrong died in the spring of 67, I think is what she had, was what today would be colon cancer, blockage and everything. And anyhow, after several months of the trial that she was going through, she died. And I remember Mr. Armstrong turned to a couple men who were there. I think Mr. McCullough was one of them, who was the deputy chancellor at Big Sandy, but he was out there at the time. And simply he said to them when she took her last breath that God is good. Now, obviously, there was a spirit of thanksgiving involved in that, because that's what he said. He didn't come back and say something that, well, God has taken her from me. No, God is good, is the way he put it. And I thought, of course, Mr. McCullough later related that on to us as students, and thought that's always stuck with me. And he has it's not that he didn't have sadness of the loss of his wife. He certainly did. And he did as much as almost a year later when he came to speak at Big Sandy there. He got choked up. And he said, well, I've got to move on. I can't talk about that, which he did and did very well. But he also looked at it and he tried to see it in the bigger light, in the bigger picture. And he was a very thankful man. In fact, he would said here in his latter years, I remember him saying that most of the time in my prayers, is taken up with giving thanks, not asking, but giving thanks. And I thought, well, that was very interesting. And when he said that, I think it was at a Bible study in Pasadena, that you know, get you thinking. You know, maybe that's what we ought to be doing. That's what the Bible teaches, isn't it? That's what Paul was doing. That's what the scriptures show. And what does it lead to? It leads eventually here to character and to hope, and so we never lose hope in any way whatsoever. Now, let me give some of the benefits of giving thanks here so that I want to, at least before I finish, and I think can be helpful. What will thanks do to your mind and to all of us as we practice and do it? Well, one thing is that those who are thankful understand that all they have comes from God. Everything. Our life comes from God. We need to thank God for the years he has given us. There are little children who have died, who have never gotten out of infancy, never grown into adulthood, never had much of a life. They will in the resurrection, of course. That's promised. But in this life, they never knew life. We have a lot to be thankful for, that we have been given the years that we have been given. You know, if you were there, you probably at the funeral realized that Howard Wills was married once before, and that his two children were from his first wife, who died of cancer at the age of 24. And she was, and her mother were members of the church here in Miami. So, but it was Melba who we met a couple years later at the feast in Jekyll Island. And they married, and she raised those two children who you saw the other night as now adults and with their own families. And that's their mother. So be thankful for the years, you know, that you've been given. And we realize that everything that we have comes from God and comes from above. Second thing that is very important and one comes to understand in giving thanks, that those who are thankful will have their faith strengthened. Will have their faith strengthened. In Romans chapter 8 and in verse 28, is another familiar scripture. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to his purpose. Now, do we just know that academically? Or do we know that because of something else? And I would submit to you that we would know that especially more if we are giving of thanks. And that will mean a lot to us. And we will see it and believe it in a way rather than just reading the words. So, yes, it's our strength, our faith indeed will be strengthened. Because giving thanks strengthens our faith in those words. The third thing that you will find will really be a benefit the more we give thanks. Those who continually give God thanks will not get discouraged and give up. You know, when people are not being thankful, that's the time when discouragement takes over. Now, those things, we are human beings with emotions, and those emotions can begin to take over and conquer us. And we have to fight off the wrong emotions, destructive emotions. We can't just let discouragement and depression rule us. We have to rule it. And one of the ways in ruling it is in giving God thanks in prayer. Why? Your mind is off yourself. Your mind is thinking and giving God thanks rather than God help me. And that can help us during times when we have had a loss of a loved one. You know, there's an interesting situation we had years and years ago when we came from Ohio to North Carolina. In the first 2 weeks we were there, I had two funerals. One was a lady who I was called out at night to the emergency room of the hospital in Greensboro, and she was having an aneurysm. It was ballooning or whatever. It was critical. I did anoint her there. The doctor was not going to do the surgery. He didn't feel confident he could handle that, so she was flown by helicopter to Chapel Hill, to University of North Carolina. And they did do it, but she died in surgery. Then a couple days later after that funeral, we had to make a quick trip, and I don't remember the reason now, to Kansas for something. And then as we came back, one of the people in the church, a younger fellow in his early 30s, had died from some infection of the brain. I don't know, encephalitis or something like that, had taken him just quickly. He was healthy when we left, and then we got a call before we got back that it had happened. And so it was everybody knew and loved this family, and of course the loss of the husband here. After the funeral, a week or so, whatever it was, went out to see his widow and talk with her, because I was new to the area, didn't know anybody yet to speak of. But it's interesting what she had to say. She had lost a child about a year and a half before and had been in a great amount of depression over that for the better part of the time from the death of the child up to the death of her husband. And she had come out of that I didn't even know anything about it until she told me. But she said, you know, I'm not going to let that happen to me again. It was very interesting, and she didn't. And she fought it off. And she had to obviously fight it off with prayer. And she did very, very well. And later on, God gave her a husband a few years down the road. Again, she was a young lady in her 30s. But it was interesting how she put that to me, that I'm not going to let this happen to me again. That is, go into such depression over such a loss. Well, the fourth thing that's very important, third thing, repeating it again, because in giving thanks, we do not, we are blessed by, we were able to handle discouragement and not give up and quit. And a fourth thing is that our prayers will be much more effective if we're giving God thanks rather than just everything that we can think of for ourselves. You know, in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 20, that's what Paul was saying here, Ephesians 5 and in verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he is. You know, it's interesting what comes up after that. The role of the husband and wife in marriage. Interesting, before he even gets into that, wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives as yourself. What is he saying? Be thankful for everything in Jesus Christ. Good place to put it, too. It certainly needs to be in marriage, as well as other things that come up in life. Our prayers will be much more effective if we are giving God thanks. And finally, a fifth thing here that is, and there might be other things too, but that certainly come to my mind, giving continual thanks to God will lead the individual to greater spiritual maturity. Greater spiritual maturity in giving thanks. Yeah, haven't you seen that in people who you know are very appreciative people? Appreciative people see something, there's something different about the character. And you actually notice that, admire that. And it isn't just something that's time and chance. It is something that comes by work and making that effort. And it does take that. We have to make the effort to get on our knees and give God thanks. And yes, when we have taken such a loss, I personally believe that's why Melba is holding up so well and doing so well, is because she is a thankful person. And that has helped her to be able to handle something like this after 42 years of marriage. Well, there are benefits and blessings. It helps us to cope with these situations that come up where we can't do much about it physically. And helps us to have a little more understanding. God is big. He thinks big. His thoughts are bigger than ours. And yes, we all know we're going to see him again in the resurrection and all these things. But we do have to move on now. And one way that will help us to get through all of these things is in our prayers, spend more time giving God thanks.